Man, praise the Lord for that special tonight, and praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here. I think if we just had a service where it was just preaching, it wouldn't be the same, and I'm thankful for the music and the specials and all that goes into it, but I'm especially thankful for the preaching, and every time our pastor gets up here, I look forward to it, and I'm thankful beyond words the opportunity to stand up here. But Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 is where we're going to be, Proverbs 22, 6. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a nagging throat issue, so I might cough a little bit. But Proverbs 22, 6, if you are able, you stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We're just going to read one verse, and it's a very familiar verse, but I think the Lord has something for us even tonight. So the Bible says in Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for the songs of praise that were sung to your name and the Holy Spirit that is in this place. And God, I pray that you'll be with every person that's here. May you speak to their hearts. May you receive exactly what they have need of. May they receive it. And Lord, I pray that you'll give me wisdom, give me clarity of thought, help me to remember that which I've prepared. And God, I pray that we'll have a profitable time in your house this evening. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very familiar verse, as I said, and I'm sure a lot of people could take it and quote it. And it's learned in our Awanas program, and it's learned at a young age. And I think if we would think about ourselves, I train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If we study the entire Bible, different parts of the Bible, there's no doubt that God has intended children to be a blessing. He wants and he desires children to be a blessing. Even if you're just around little children, it's a blessing. You know, the way they smile, the energy they have, their imagination, they're just spirit about them, especially if they're playing one with another. If you have them toys that they're happy with, and you have a time where they're together, they have an imagination, and they're all different personalities, and you can see the personality of their parents a little bit in them, especially if they get mad or they, you know, are having a good time, and you see the smiles, and they seem, and I don't care how tough a guy you are, how big and strong, you give it the biggest, strongest biker in the world. If a four-year-old gives that little, give that biker a pretend phone, he's going to talk in it. I don't care how big and tough a guy you are. If a four-year-old hands you a pretend phone, you're going to talk on that phone. Because kids, there's just something wonderful about children. And God designed them to be a blessing. God designed them to light up older people and adults. And, you know, whenever there's a new baby that's coming, the ladies are just going to surround it, and they want to see the baby, and they want to all over the baby and all that kind of thing. And it's just something about children that God has put in our hearts that we enjoy children, to be around them. And we see in God's Word that he has a strong opinion on children. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children in their youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiverful of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." It's an exciting thing to have children and to be blessed with children. And everyone that has children would say they are an heritage of the Lord. They're a blessing from the Lord. They're something they want to have. John 16, 21 says this. It says, "A woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For joy that a man is born into the world." You know, as women go and they struggle and they get larger, they go through that 9-month period where they're uncomfortable and they have the different pains and different things, and then especially the pain of delivery and childbirth and the struggle of labor and all that takes place. It seems like pain and agony, and they say women go to the very brink of death. But when that baby comes forth, when that baby is born and they hear the crying of that child, they have no memory of those 9 months. They don't dwell upon that, those hours of labor that they just went through. They just think of that amazing child, that amazing life that God has blessed them with. So God says much about children. Of course, we know Jesus' opinion on children. Well, I mean, I doubt there's one person in here I couldn't ask about the story of Matthew 19. And when the disciples had the children, and the disciples were saying, get those kids out of here. Jesus has more important things to do. Get those little kids out. Stop them from bugging Jesus. And Jesus, of course, said, suffer the little children. I want the little children. I want those kids. And he said, it's very clear that God has a strong opinion about children. And he cares about children. Every soul is important to Jesus Christ, especially the little souls just at the beginning of their life. You know, they're a blessing. And they're a blessing to from the beginning and from the time they're born, as I said. But it's not very long in having children. You go from all blessing to now it's time to teach and to train them. It's just a short while, just a short period you have from this is just a blessing and it cries a little bit, but if you feed it or you hold it or change it, it's usually pretty good. But then comes the part where you don't just get to have it and enjoy the blessing and enjoy that new baby smell and you get to hold that baby infant. You have to actually start teaching and you have to start training. And typically the first things you have to teach it is not to touch that, don't touch that. And the biggest one is typically don't put that in your mouth. You know, those are usually the things that you go with at the beginning when the first thing you're training, your first thing you're teaching is you don't need to put that in your mouth, you don't need to touch that, and you have to teach them, you have to train them, which gets us back to our text in Proverbs 22:6, if you see there. As I said, you could probably quote it, but let's look deeper into it and see what the Lord has for us. It says this, train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. When I think about the word train or training, I typically think of boxing. And I think of, I'm not real big on boxing, but I know a little bit about boxing, and I love to watch a good knockout. I'm sure there's people here that love to do that. Brother Rusty would probably love to deliver a good knockout. You know, he's just that kind. But there's the people that like those kind of sports, the MMAs, the boxing. And when I think about training, I think of a trainer and boxing movies and all the different things that go into that. And training, a boxer can do some of the things on his own. But if he's going to be successful, if he's going to be extremely successful, if he's going to strive to get that championship, if he's going to be able to be that heavyweight champion of the world, he can't do it by himself. He can't just train on his own. He has to have a trainer. He has to have someone help him. He has to have someone to guide and direct him. A trainer teaches a boxer what it takes to be the best, to be the champion, to be what they can be. And as Christians, and we think about the children, these children can go so far, but they can't go far enough if they don't have someone training them. If they don't have someone teaching them, they don't have someone guiding them, someone directing them. And typically, a trainer is someone in the past who has been there before. They have lived that life before. They have boxed in the past, and they know from experience. And a trainer of children is someone who has been a child, and they have learned the right way to go. They know what the right thing to do is. They'll teach them that effort is necessary. Oh, you got to have effort to be a boxer. You got to put in the time. You can't halfway just kind of like, you know, this. You got to be ready. You got to be all in. You got to put in the effort. And to live the Christian life, you have to train young people. You have to train children. You got to put in effort. It's going to take work. It's going to take what you have. If you want to be the Christian God wants you to be, it takes effort. And the second thing it takes, a trainer would teach a boxer, is that it takes discipline. It takes discipline. You have to go through it. You have to keep pressing on. You have to push beyond your feelings and what you want to do and what's easy to do. And I just don't want to today. You have to press on and be disciplined to do it every day, to be what God wants you to be every day, to be at service every time you can be. You have to be disciplined. And the trainer has to get on him. Come on, man, you got to do that. You got to do them push-ups. Come on, man, you got to run like you're supposed to. Come on, man, you got to do them pull-ups. You got to be there, and he's got to be the cheerleader, but he's also can't let him slack off. He's got to be disciplined. And it typically takes 5 hours a day, 5 days a week of training to be a legit boxer, to be a true contender, you have to do at least that. 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. And what do we understand of that? It takes time. It's going to take time. You know, there's the understanding of it's not just a quick thing, and by the time they're 7 years old, if I started out right, by the time they're 7 years old, they're going to be trained and ready to go. No, that's not enough time. By the time they become teenagers, then they're ready to go. No, they're definitely not ready to go yet over here. Brother Rusty, like I said, and I know that. They're not ready to go yet. They still need more time. They still need more training. They still need more instruction. They still need to learn more discipline. They still need to put out more effort. You have to put in the time. And the first thing they need is to learn those basics. They need to learn the basics. You know, a boxer needs to learn just the basic punches, about a jab, an uppercut, and they need to learn how to hit that speed bag. If y'all have ever seen that before, that's hard. Anybody ever done that before? That's hard. That's not easy to do. You got to do like that and like that and like that. And you have to learn how to hit the big bag. We actually went to a youth rally one time, and we did one of those, like a boxing training thing, and I actually got the gloves on. I'm like, all right, now I can do it. I can hit it hard. And that wears you out in about 10 seconds of swinging as hard as you can, doing the teenagers that did that understand what I'm talking about. That takes effort. That's hard to do. But you got to know the basics on how to do it. And then they need to move beyond the basics. You got to move beyond the basics to strategies for certain fighters and different things like that. And you got to be able to do it. So you got to be able to throw the punch, do the uppercut. And I think you got to get your footwork right, and you got to be able to dodge and protect your eye, protect your body, do all that kind of stuff. And I think if I went into a ring, let's be honest, if I went into a ring, if I was boxing, I think I'd be all right, don't you? Anybody think that? No, okay. If I went into a boxing ring, I think I could hold my own. But in reality, I'll just be honest, I'm going to tell you the truth, I wouldn't. I would be terrible. I'm not in the proper shape. I'm not properly trained. I'm not where I need to be to go in a boxing match. And if our young people leave our churches not properly trained, it's like a boxer not being properly trained for a boxing match. Because it's a fight out there in the world. It's a battle in this place outside these walls. It's a spiritual warfare. And there's a roaring lion trying to devour the young people that we're trying to train. And if they're not properly trained, it's not going to turn out well. So if I went into a boxing ring, and I went with my abilities and my footwork, which I walk like I'm in concrete, or my dodging ability, which is slow as molasses, if I tried to go in a boxing ring myself, I could seriously get hurt. I saw this video one time of this guy who was, he grew up, he had the full mullet, and he was like a street fighter from Philadelphia, and he thought, because he was a good street fighter, he would just try this boxing thing, and he would try that out. And this guy got in there with a professional boxer, and 30 seconds in, he went and got knocked on the chin, and he like stood up for a second, and then he fell down. Like he was completely gone, cold cocked, out, and he seriously got hurt. Because he hadn't trained. He thought because he had fought on the streets, and I guess but he was not properly trained. If a boxer hasn't been properly trained, they can get seriously hurt. And if our young people are not properly trained, if our children go out of our church not properly trained, they are going to get hurt. They're going to get seriously hurt. They're going to get hurt by drugs. They're going to get hurt by alcohol. They're going to get hurt by a promiscuous lifestyle. They're thinking it's going to be fun. They're thinking it's what my parents have been holding me back from. But no, it's what they've been trying to protect you from. And they'll go out and they'll try it, and they'll try this that the devil puts in front of them, and that won't satisfy them. They'll try that that the devil puts in front of them, and that won't satisfy them. And they'll just keep trying stuff, and everything they try will leave them more and more injured and more hurt. And eventually they'll get seriously hurt. Because they weren't properly trained for the fight. They weren't ready to go out. You got to be training. You got to put the time in. You got to put the effort in. I found this really good quote. I was looking at boxing stuff, and this quote from one trainer said this. He said, if you want to train better, start training with a team. Training with others helps you find your workout rhythm faster and last longer because of everyone else's energy around you. It's almost like he was making our point for us about training with a team or training together or helping each other or as a group, everyone contributing to the training. And at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, we are here to help contribute to the training of your children. We're here to help you to show them what God wants them to do with their lives. We're here to reinforce what parents are teaching their children at home. That's what we're here for, training with others. If you want to train better, start training with a team. Well, we're a team here, and we're here to help you. We're on your team. We want your children to turn out right. We need them to turn out right. God designed it that you have a team of trainers to help raise your children. Training is a process. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes discipline. No doubt this verse is speaking primarily to parents. But honestly, it can be applied to anyone who has opportunity to influence a child. If you have opportunity to influence a child, if God has opened up that door of opportunity, do you understand that when God blesses you with children, that's an opportunity. God trusts you and expects you to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He has put that in your life for you to raise that child. That's why he blessed you with that child, because he knows and he expects you to train it. But the verse says this, says train up a child. Any child you have an opportunity to influence. As most of you know, my wife and I don't have children yet, but we're putting in our effort to train every child God allows us to influence. It's tremendous. We have three different groups of kids that we get to interact with. We have kids on our bus. And then we have kids in our Sunday school, our junior hires, and then we have a junior church class, and it's almost completely different children. But we have opportunity to influence. We have opportunity to invest. We have opportunity to help train every group of those children to help them learn what God wants them to do with their lives. God gives you opportunity to influence a child. He wants you to train them. If he gives you that opportunity, he gives you that chance. That's because he wants you to train them. Parents, you're the main or primary influence in their life. Like I said, God gave you that child for a reason. God gave you that child so you could raise them for the Lord. Don't forget that. And parents, it's what you say. It's what you're teaching them. It's investing the time to teach them what is right to do. You shouldn't just open your Bible on Sunday or at church. They shouldn't just learn about Bible stories from their Sunday school teachers. They shouldn't just learn about what the Bible says from their junior church. They should learn from their parents what the Bible wants them to do. You're the main or primary influence. And not only what you teach them in word, but what you teach them in action. What you do. You know, because your talk talks and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, right? Everybody understand that? Your talk talks and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, or this, your actions speak louder than words. That's a simpler way to say it. But hey, your actions speak louder than your words. And I think one of the largest ways that training of children fails in good churches is the hypocrites they see. They talk one way, but they live another way. They say one thing, but they do another thing. If you were to talk to parents, and of course I'm not talking, let's just think about parents in the world that do things they shouldn't do, that are bad for their bodies, like somebody that smokes. And if you've ever seen a parent that smokes, And one thing they'll tell their children, don't smoke. It's bad. If you know anybody in your family, you know anybody at your work that smokes, they'll tell their children, you shouldn't smoke because it's bad for you. It makes food taste bad. It totally messes up your lungs. You could get cancer. You could get emphysema. You get all these things. And the parents will say, son, don't do it. Don't smoke. And then they see their dad smoking. And there's a extremely large chance that those children end up smoking. Am I right? Have you seen that before? You know that's true. Because it doesn't matter how much you talk, it matters how much you walk. It doesn't matter how much you say, it matters how much you do. And if you're going to train your children right, if you're going to train children how God wants you to train them, you got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. God gives you opportunity to influence a child. He wants you to train them. Sunday school teachers, junior church teachers. God gives you those children because he wants you to train them. That's why you're still in that Sunday school class. That's why you're still in that junior church class. That's what God has for you. He wants you to train them. You say, I did it before. I did it a long time ago for 30 years. Well, we have different children now. We have more children now. We have children that need to be trained still. And you say, maybe you trained me, or you trained Brother Rusty, or Brother Aaron, or whoever it may be that have grown up through this church. We've trained them. Okay, well, now their children need to be trained. Now more people's children need to be trained. We're bringing in bus kids that have no godly influence at all, and you, as a Sunday school teacher, you have an influence. You may be the only godly influence they have in their life. You need to train them. You're not there to entertain. Although a little entertainment's not bad. If you just stood up here and read 2 Chronicles to a group of second graders, I mean, that's not going to be good. They're not going to get much out of that. You have to have a little fun. If you've ever been in my classes, junior high or junior church or youth night, we do have some fun. We have a good time. But that's not our primary purpose. It's not to entertain them, not to have a good time there. And you're not, this is what we have to understand also. We're not just there to show them love. And we want to show them love, especially these bus kids that have no love at home, no care for them at home. They're one of seven kids, and their parents barely remember their name, and they get no attention at home. You should love them, and you should care for them. And you ladies should wrap your hands around those first and second grade girls and hug them and care for them. But listen, it's not our primary goal is to just love them. We're there to train them. We're there to teach them. We're there. That's why you have to spend time studying the Bible for your lesson. That's why you have to spend time praying about them individually, by name, whatever situation. You know, there's different ones, and I'm guilty of this too. I'll raise my hand that we almost think in our hearts, man, I really kind of wish they wouldn't come anymore. They're not focusing. They're not listening. It seems like every week is pulling my teeth just to get them to sit down and shut up. It seems like a struggle and a battle. But how much have you prayed for them during that week? Those ones that are the toughest, the hardest to get. We're not going to, Pastor likes to say, we don't help anybody by running them off. We're not going to help any of these bus kids if we run them off. How much have you prayed for that bus kid? That's the hardest. That's the most difficult in your class. That's the biggest knucklehead there is. How much do you pray for them? We're not there just to entertain, not just to show them love. We're there to train them. If you have opportunity to influence a child, God wants you to train them. Bus workers, we don't just give them a ride. That's not what we're there for. We're not just there to give them a ride. We're there to care for them. We're there to love them. We're there to teach them. No, we don't say those words. We don't say, oh my God, because that's taking the Lord's name in vain. And you have to train them. You have to teach them. They have to learn that. We're not just there to give them a ride. We're there to help train them. Brother Aaron didn't put me up to this one, but the Lord did. The WANA workers. We got a WANA coming up starting next Monday. And if you missed the training of that, that's okay. We'll still take you. But WANA workers, hey, Brother Aaron, I don't believe in the years that he's been working in WANA has ever said, we don't need any more workers. We're good. Have you ever had that problem, that too many workers? No. We've never had the problem of too many people. If we could get to a place where it was one-on-one verse time, what a tremendous blessing that would be. You take time for these kids to learn verses, to learn the Bible, to hide God's word in their heart, and to do that one-on-one. Awana is an opportunity to train children. Well, I don't have kids in Awana anymore. That doesn't matter. God is, if you have a Monday night open, if you have an opportunity and you can't make a full entire Awana season commitment, that's okay. Just show up. We'll find a place to put you. We'll find somewhere for you to serve. If you have an opportunity to influence children, it's because God wants you to help train them. Train up a child in the way he should go is the process. That's the process. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's not something where it just happens all of a sudden. It's a process. It takes time. It takes hard work and effort. But the exciting thing is, after the process, there is a wonderful product. The process takes time, takes effort, takes discipline, but the process ends in a wonderful product. I thought of 10,000 different illustrations for this, but anything from Oreo cookies to growing a garden, whatever it may be, from making an automobile, everything takes a process. And if you're growing a garden, you know, you understand that there's a process of digging, and there's a process of getting the rocks out, and there's a process of making sure the soil's good and making sure that everything's ready, and then you plant it, and then you water it, and then you fight the weeds off, and then you fight Bugs Bunny who's going to try and eat your carrots, and all the different things that are coming to try and eat your tomato plants and all the cucumbers and everything in there. But you put in the effort. You do the process, and then you get to enjoy the fruit. The wonderful product that is produced. We don't always enjoy the process of training up a child, but oh, it's a tremendous blessing, the product of children that have been properly trained. They're a blessing to their parents. They're a blessing to their grandparents. They're a blessing as they go through life and they can see God using them in their life. There's a young lady that, as I said, we don't have kids. Y'all know that. But I've been on the bus route since I was 16 years old. So 16 years. And I'm thankful for the opportunity I've had to influence child after child. And since we've kind of started the past 5 or 6 years a new strategy to the bus route of just getting them in more than just numbers, It's really paid off. It's really been a blessing to see. We've had kids we can train. We've had kids we can invest in. We've had kids who care about our influence, not just about we're going to have inflatables and hot dogs and how much can I get away with. I just want something to do. These kids really want to do right. And a couple just come to my mind. There's one girl who's come since she was 4 years old, and she was now we don't even take four-year-olds, but she did fine at 4 years old. And now she's in fifth grade, and she loves being at church. She's moved 4 or 5 times since we first picked her up, and she knows nothing more than church. And I'm not just saying Brother Scott's done it or Brother Dave's done it because she's on his bus route or Brother Aaron done it because he's the bus director, was the youth pastor at the time. It's not that we've done it. We've done it as a team. We've done it together as a Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm sure a lot of you have had you in her Sunday school class from kindergarten all the way up until the fifth grade. You've had her and you've invested in her and you've helped to train her. The little influence you've had, the little bit you could do, you've trained her. And there's another girl who's now in high school. And she struggles. She's got a brother who's... He just kind of causes problems all the time. We can't let him come anymore, even by himself, without his parents. And she just wanted to do right. She's more of a parent than her mom is to her older brother. And she just has a sweet spirit. And she went to camp this year, brought a girl that's one of her friends to camp too. And she surrendered her life to the ministry at camp this year. And we got to see that wonderful product that came from all that we were investing in her, all that training we were trying to give her. We were giving her God's word. We were telling her the way she should go. And now she's going to be in the ministry. She's not there yet. We're still training her. She's still in high school, and we still have to put more into her. But there's wonderful products. So you might be in here, and you're a Sunday school teacher, or a junior church worker, or a bus worker, or you've worked in Awanas in the past. And you say, well, it just doesn't feel worth it anymore. I don't see a lot out of it. But if you have opportunity, God allows you the opportunity to influence a child. It's because he wants you to help train them. God wants us to train up children, and not just our children, any child that we can have an influence over. If we could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And we don't typically have a musical invitation on a Wednesday night, so we won't this Wednesday, but maybe God's spoken to your heart. We don't always need the music to be playing. We don't always need songs to influence us to make a decision, but God's spoken to your heart. Are you doing your part to train? We all know to do our part to train our own children, but any child that you can have an influence over, any child that you have opportunity, are you doing what you should to train them? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for just this one verse that many of us know, but maybe we're not always applying it. Maybe we just go through the motions of a class. Maybe we just try and get through. But God, anytime we have an opportunity to influence a child, that's a soul for all of eternity. That's the beginning of a life that can be used for you. Help us to remember that. God, I pray that I'll remember it. Pray that I'll be able to train as I should and influence as I should every child you put before me. Love you and thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name.